Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We're joined by MMA pioneer, UFC champion, current VP of ONE Championship, and a no doubt Hall of Famer, in my humble opinion. But most importantly, a great friend of the show, Mecha Takedown Tate. Thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Oh, you're welcome. Oh, I love it. The takedown, actually, you know what? That's a throwback. I appreciate that. That's like, people who know that nickname are like, that's hardcore. Like, that was a minute ago. I was like, I've been Cupcake for a while, but every fight, I always had a takedown. I don't think there's a single fight that I didn't get like at least one, you know?
Before we get into UFC 257's main card ourselves tonight, I wanted to ask you about an undercard fight. Number 9, Amanda Ribas versus number 8, Marina Rodriguez. Ribas is the favorite, but I saw a quote that gave me some pause from her, and she said, "People have been talking a lot about McGregor and Poirier. I want them to remember my fight. In order to be different, I need to do something that nobody expects. Everyone expects me to go to the ground. I'll try to do something different." Mecha, why try something different if what you're doing has been working?
You know what? Sometimes when fighters are going through development and evolution, you'll see it happen where wrestlers fall in love with their hands and, you know, and even sometimes, you know, strikers fall in love with the ground and they want to prove something. So it sounds like she's going through a phase where, you know, everybody knows that she's good on the ground. Everybody knows she has the submissions, but she's got a chip on her shoulder. She's probably reading her Instagram comments. It can get to you a little bit. And I think all fighters are striving to be the very best, you know, the best in the world, either a world champion and the best version of themselves. And I think she's in that situation where she wants to prove that she's good in every area. So she wants to do something memorable, something unexpected, and kind of ride that wave that I think all the fighters kind of get when you're fighting on a McGregor card. Everybody kind of gets a little bit of extra love, a little bit of extra eyes.
You still like her though, to win the fight?
I think so. I'm pretty high on Amanda right now. I think she's pretty devastating. She fought my friend Emily, and I mean, I was just blown away by how fierce she was in that fight, and not just fierce, but really skilled. She's, I think she's more well-rounded than she's shown too. So, you know, it can be a little give and take when you hear a fighter say something like this. It definitely can be like, are they ready to take that risk? You know what I mean? Are they ready to like kind of step out of the comfort zone, you know? But I think the best of the best are willing to take risks and, you know, willing to prove and show that they are a cut above the rest. So I guess we will see come that fight night.
The one and only Mecha Cupcake Tate here on WFAN New York City. Now, the headlining match, it's a rematch at 257, obviously McGregor and number 2 lightweight contender Poirier. What is it about Conor McGregor that makes even the most casual MMA fan tune in? I mean, he's a must-see, and I assume you two have met somewhere along the line.
Yeah, sure. We've met in passing. We fought on a couple cards together. You know, I fought Holly Holm the night that he fought Nate Diaz. You know, that was a very memorable night. What is it about him? It's a good question. I mean, I think that the man is incredibly charismatic. I think he is smart with the way that he markets himself, but none of it seems forced and none of it seems entirely unbelievable either. Like, if any other fighter was to go out there and say, "I'm gonna knock out Dustin Poirier in 60 seconds or under," I'd be like, "Bull," you know, like, yeah, right, whatever. Okay, we've heard it before. But honestly, when Conor says it, I'm like, So what does he see? Like, what is it? Like, and then I'm trying to figure out the why, because I already believe the narrative, if that makes any sense. Like, I do believe that Conor McGregor is a very special athlete, a once in a lifetime athlete. And I think that he's capable of things that most fighters would never dare to say or dream or believe, you know, love him or hate him, right? He's genuine and he's unapologetically himself and usually is able to back up what he says. I never in a million years would have thought he would starch Jose Aldo in 13 seconds. So now he's saying 60 seconds. And you know, I'm not all in. I don't necessarily think that he's going to go out there and finish him in 60 seconds, but I believe it's a realistic possibility because he says it. And I think that's what it is. People are buying into the fact that he does a lot of times predict very closely, very accurately how he's going to win fights and in what fashion and in the time and everything. So instead of me questioning what he's saying, I'm kind of trying to figure out why he's saying that.
Yeah, I mean, the last time they met, speaking of timing, less than 2 minutes to record a TKO. That was 7 years ago, though. But now McGregor is the favorite. The odds are pointing to a fight, because I checked them just before. The odds are pointing to a fight that will not go the distance by way of knockout or TKO. Do you predict that's how it's going to go?
You know, I don't think that this fight is probably not going to go the distance. I think both guys are capable, very capable of finishing this fight. However, this is really difficult to say. Like, if it goes the distance, I definitely think that it's in Dustin Poirier's favor. And I think if it ends in the first two rounds or even first half of the fight, I would put my money on Conor McGregor. And the latter half, the longer the fight goes, I think it favors Dustin. So if he can get out of that first minute, that first round, I think it certainly, because we've seen Dustin Poirier go tit for tat with some of the best for, you know, three rounds or five rounds, whatever it takes to get the job done. He's an incredibly well-conditioned athlete. But here, you know, Conor McGregor, the strategist, the surgeon, if you will, you know, he's incredibly accurate. He's very powerful. And he doesn't seem to be affected by quote unquote ring rust. The layoffs that he has, these kind of longer layoffs, a lot of times he comes back better for it. So his performance against Cowboy, I would have liked to see more, just because you always have questions, you know, and was it kind of, you know, you don't want to say a fluke, but, you know, did he get lucky? Was Cowboy off? Did he just kind of have it happen so quick? But when somebody's doing that consistently and time again, and you've seen them deliver in that fashion, then you kind of like, okay, this is not something that's happening by accident. They're just really that good. I was originally picking Poirier to win this fight. And the reason being is I have less questions about Poirier. I feel like he has evolved from boy to man, so to speak, in this sport. He was much younger, you know, not even physically as developed. You can see he's filled out. He's much stronger. He's more comfortable in his division. And his defense is much better than it's ever been before. But Conor's the black horse in all of this. He always is. And he always kind of rides in and steals the show and does something that blows your mind. And I think this is one of those don't blink fights, because you know at any second Conor can just do something absolutely out of this world that blows your mind.
Talking about Miesha Tate, UFC superstar here on The Fan. This past week, McGregor was on a podcast talking about how Poirier was a good, I'm using the word warm-up, in terms of preparation for a boxing match versus Manny Pacquiao. He also said that a fight could happen sometime this calendar year. Do you buy it?
Oh my gosh. No, honestly, I don't see that happening this year. I think with everything, and a lot of that has to do with just the way the world is right now, that it's kind of crazy and everything's slow moving. And I think a lot of things would have to line up just perfectly. But I'll tell you what, if Conor McGregor goes out there and beats Dustin Poirier in emphatic fashion, let's say he gets it done in under 60 seconds, or just in a way that is like, whoa, he's back. He's the old Conor McGregor. The UFC is going to want him fighting for a title. No doubt about it. His next fight is going to be a title fight. How long that takes of a turnaround to make that happen, you know, I feel like, okay, you know, we're talking about UFC gold here. I don't see him necessarily having the time or wanting to look otherwise. I believe he'd want to be a champion first and foremost. So I'm going to say that this year he should be focused on that. Granted, he wins this fight. I could be wrong. Money talks. There's a lot of money in boxing, right? I don't know, but I would say 2022, I could definitely see him coming back for a boxing fight. I'd like to see 2021 kind of make up for lost time with Conor McGregor and, you know, see if he can score another championship.
Another thing that I saw McGregor said was, I don't know if there's no crowd. I don't know what it is. There's just no buzz for me. Being VP of one championship, seeing the fights with no crowd, what could you tell us about it? As a fighter, is there no energy?
Well, I think it's really a poor excuse if you have to have a crowd in order to perform well. But do I think it changes the dynamic a little bit? Sure, it probably, look, fighters have hurdles that they have to get over. Think about the Ultimate Fighter. There's no crowds there and stuff. And some fighters, it might have a little bit more of an effect on than others. I do feel like, from my personal experience, I definitely feel like I fed off the energy of the crowd. However, if I know I'm going into a fight with no crowd, you prepare for that mentally and you bring it regardless. Like, you cannot say that because there was no crowd, you had a bad performance. But it could be that it's not as like, not as exhilarating maybe, or not as fun, but you're still in a fist fight. Somebody's trying to take your head off. Like, that's not, you have to show up regardless of what the world throws at you, even if it is the pandemic and no crowd. Over in Singapore, like, I just moved from there, and like working with one championship, I mean, that's been a huge challenge there as well. Like, tons of regulations and rules and all the things, you know, same things that the UFC is having to go through and all these other promotions. But like, the experience there too with the athletes, they're showing up, they're fighting hard. Same things going on with the UFC. I think you just have to rise to the occasion. You really, as an athlete, have to understand that you have to be ready for change. Every second, every round, every preparation that you do, you have to understand it could change at any moment. And that's just the fighting business.
Some of the feedback coming from your one championship fighters has been what? Fighting in the pandemic.
A lot of them think that it's weird, and they definitely notice it. I think all the fighters are noticing, because you feel the energy. I remember when I was fighting Holly, you know, and then there was like point when they were all chanting Holly, like felt like the whole arena was like Holly, Holly, and you hear it, you feel it, you understand it. And then it's gone. And the same thing. And they were like, Misha, Misha. And I was like, yeah, you know, and you feel it, and it's there, and it's a part of that memory, and it's a part of that fight. And it does suck that these fighters are not getting that part of this memory. But at the same time, like, I don't feel like it's taken away from the performances. You know, I feel like there's still somebody, like I said, standing across the aisle. There's still world championships to be won. There's still money to be made, fights on the line, dreams on the line. And regardless, as I mentioned, you know, what is thrown in front of you, you've got to be willing to adapt, weird or not.
Now, I guess my question to you, having done it, obviously, the training regimen from MMA to boxing, back to MMA possibly, is it really as simple as Conor McGregor is making this sound like it is?
No, not at all. It's not. It's apples and oranges, as cliche as that sounds, boxing and MMA. And I think a lot of casual fans think that striking is striking. It's certainly not. There are things that you can do in boxing that you absolutely cannot get away with in MMA. And sometimes the most difficult part about transitioning between sports is not about learning new things. It's about unlearning the things that you do instinctually, the things that you have practiced so many times that you don't even think about it. It's called muscle memory. You just react. And especially once you start to become fatigued and when you get rocked, same thing, because you're not all theirs. You're not cognitively thinking. You're reacting purely on instinct. Same thing when you get tired. So the way boxers move a lot laterally, side to side, they move their heads and their hands are down. You're going to get kicked in the dome in MMA, you know, and even the stance, like turning as much sideways, you got to worry about leg kicks. So there are adjustments that you have to make for either sport. And no matter how great you are or what you have in your favor, all the cards, if you're doing both sports, you're taking away from one or the other. There's just no way around it.
Conor McGregor, he's retired 3 times from MMA fighting, June 7th being 2020 being the most recent. In an Instagram post, and I thought of you, he said, "The game just does not excite me." And he was quoted in an interview saying, "I'm a bit bored of the game." And I actually thought of you because what you said during our podcast earlier in the summer, what do you think it is that keeps drawing him and others like him back in?
You know what? There's money. Definitely money is something that, because I believe, just like with anything, the more money you make, the more money you're going to spend. You ever notice, like, you go and buy a bigger purse and you're like, oh, I'm going to have lots of room in this purse. No, you just put more stuff in it. Same concept, you know, just like stick with the small purse and figure it out, right? Well, So money, sure, of course, that's a factor. He wants to make more money. But I really believe that Conor McGregor has a huge ego. And that's not a bad thing, because I think fighters need to have a little bit of an ego. Fighters need to kind of, they just need a little bit more. They're just not happy being an everyday person. You know, they need more. And I think that's what it is. I think he has a fighting spirit. And I think, yeah, he's a truly is a fighter at the end of the day. And do I think that he's maybe lost his way at times and gone off the bean a little bit? I mean, look, the guy rose to stardom literally overnight and became one of the biggest stars, probably the biggest star MMA has ever seen. And, you know, sports in general, he is just a global figurehead. So a lot of money, a lot of fame, a lot of pressure, a lot of things to just take on for such a young athlete. And I see it could be easy to just kind of get lost for a minute. But at the end of the day, I think what keeps drawing Conor back to this sport is that he's a fighter. He is a fighter at the end of the day, and he loves to compete. He loves to prove people wrong or prove people right, depending if you what side of the coin that you're on. So I think that he's really a fighter.
Misha, fighters need a little bit more. Fighters don't like to be everyday people. You're the mother of two beautiful babies. Is it time, though, for you yourself to make a return to the octagon?
You know what? I am in the gym training and I feel phenomenal. I feel like, man, I just feel like $1 million. I feel really good and I'm really happy right now. But I will say right now, what I'm focused on is grappling. I want to do the submission underground. I want to get back into competition kind of shape. I'm just not a closed door person. So I never say never. I never close because I'm passionate. I can literally change my mind in a second, at the drop of a hat, because that's the way passion has always worked for me. It's never been something that's like clear cut and dry, that you always have it figured out. No, but when something speaks to me, I go for it. Right now, what's speaking to me is like, get back in competition shape and get a grappling match. And, you know, Cyborg has called me out to grapple. I think that has really motivated me to get back into shape. So I'm focused on my body, my grappling, getting myself and having fun. That is something I will say towards the end of my career, I was not doing. I was not having fun. I was trying, but I was in quicksand. And a lot of that had to do with my personal life and relationship at the time, you know? So I had to take a step away and just kind of get refreshed. And that's where I'm at now. You know, I don't feel like I'm missing anything. I'm not in a hurry. I'm just enjoying the ride. And I do want to get back in competition shape, get some grappling matches under my belt, and you never know.
I think a lot of people are paying attention. There's a lot of buzz. I mean, I looked on your Instagram, over 150,000 views on your Instagram workout videos. I mean, and those aren't just normal workouts, in my humble opinion. I mean,
oh no, they're not. Trust me. Like the other day, like I thought I was going to vomit. I was like, oh my God. I was like, I haven't pushed myself this hard in a minute. But what I loved about it is that I still have the ability to do that, because that's not like, not everybody's willing to go in that place, like in those workouts, like, and I'm just by myself at the gym, just motivating the hell out of myself. So I definitely still have the competitive spirit. I haven't really visited the idea of fighting yet, because I just don't have it's not at the forefront of my mind. It's not the calling. I'm focused on what is speaking to me. What's speaking to me is grappling. You know, I don't have to get punched in the face. I don't have to, you know, break my nose again, whatever, but still, like, it is my favorite part, always has been, of fighting. So yeah, that's where I'm at.
So Tate Cyborg, I mean, how long do you think it could take you to get into grappling shape at least?
Not long. I think definitely by the summer. Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, Misha, wherever that fight is, whenever it is, if it even is, I will be there front row.
Okay. Hopefully if the pandemic doesn't.
Yeah. I'll find a way. I'll wear a mask. Right. Well, thank you for joining us tonight here on McCartan After Midnight on The Fan. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.